Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. In the classic musical Camelot, May is labeled the lusty month. This May, 2021, certainly was in the television world. In a few minutes, I'll break down the takeaways for you. Also ahead, Ragdoll Goes Forward at AMC, our classic trivia question, and a landmark Nicktoon is back. That's our show to know. Hello, everyone, and happy pre-Memorial Day weekend Friday. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you with us before you set out for wherever your Memorial Day weekend plans are taking you. 66 degrees at the top of the hour. No guests today, but we do want to hear from you. So go ahead and give us a call at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. You can also use our chat room. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can catch it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, you can connect and interact with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk, Speaker, or TuneIn screen, and other people can be live with you when you follow the instructions. We'll get to the rest of our lineup, including our classic trivia question, our comments, and that show to know shortly. But first, let's give you some news notes for this pre-Memorial Day Friday. Pretty Little Liars co-star Lucy Hale will spend her Memorial Day weekend in London filming Ragdoll, a 6-episode series for AMC. Hale portrays a newcomer to the city's police force investigating a set of murders undertaken by the Ragdoll Killer. AMC expects to debut Ragdoll this fall with Sid Gentle Films, the people behind the prize-winning series Killing Eve, with Sandra Oh and Jodie Comer overseeing this production. As for Christina Lee, the showrunner on HBO Max's new comedy sensation Made for Love, this holiday weekend already is a winner. Lee is Warner Brothers Television's newest multi-year program developer. She has 2 series in play right now, Minor Feelings with actress-writer Greta Lee and A24, that's the production company, and a Netflix creation Under Wraps. Made for Love will continue with Lee as showrunner if HBO Max greenlights a second season. Now some quickies. It's all over for Debris. NBC canceled the offbeat drama series due to low viewership. The final episode ran on Monday night, and you can catch our pre-episode interview live with James Wyman, the creator of the program, and also the classic Fox series Fringe, at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. WWE will do this year's SummerSlam on site August 21st, running live on Peacock. Peacock parent NBC Universal will unveil where next Saturday afternoon during NBC's Belmont Stakes pre-show. And MacGyver star Lucas Till is betting his next series will be on FX. Till will co-star in Lee Daniels' pilot adaptation of the controversial movie The Spook Who Sat by the Door. And that is news notes for this pre-Memorial Day Friday. And now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. Let's see if before this Memorial Day weekend is out, we can give away our prizes, a trio of them. We have 2 Babylon 5 soundtracks from the series composer Christopher Franke, and we also have Departures. That's the series was on Outdoor Life Network Season 1. It was also carried on various National Geographic channels around the world. We've been posing this question since Monday, and let's see if we can finally get our first winner in over a month. The question, name either series starring Gene Kelly. One was an adaptation of an Oscar-winning 1940s movie. It was on ABC, and the other was a variety series that ran a season on NBC. Again, name either of the two TV series starring Gene Kelly. One, adaptation of a 1940s Oscar-winning movie. The other, a variety series that ran on NBC. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your mailing address so that if you are the winner, we get the prize out to you as soon as possible. If we don't get a winner by the end today, we will post the question, if need be, throughout the Memorial Day weekend, definitely tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's the UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, only one way to do it, get in. That's right, get in the game and play and all the very best. Let's see if we can make this Memorial Day weekend memorable for one of our listeners listening to us right now. Coming up next, a comment about what this lusty month of May did for your TV viewing down the road. We'll get to that, but first some words from our fine sponsor at Audible.com. If you're a Firefly Lane fan, you should know that that series on Netflix, that's Firefly Lane, that we previewed with its creator on this program last month, has now been renewed for a second season. It's based on a popular book by Kristen Hanna, and Hanna has another book that you can get right now with Audible.com. It's a great audiobook called The Four Winds. It takes place in Texas in the 1920s, and it's a very offbeat, unusual tale. So if you're a Firefly Lane fan, or if you want to get into Kristen Hanna's work, it's a great time to do it with The Four Winds. And how do you do it? You get a one-month trial through Audible.com. If you haven't heard, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn Radio, Spreaker, Amazon Music, Verbal, iHeartRadio, however you do, the one-month trial can be for you. And all you got to do to get that one-month trial is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised, and you will be able to do it, if you like, over this Memorial Day weekend, wherever you go. You get one free audiobook, one-month trial, health and wellness information too while it lasts, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And get this, if you're already an Amazon Prime customer, you get two audiobooks for your trial of one, and one of those audiobooks can be from the fast-growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions and podcast series, plus the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man performances. So how about making this Memorial Day weekend super memorable by discovering how Audible.com can transform the way you can hear the world? And like we say all the time, it makes a great holiday gift any time of the year, including this holiday weekend. So for all the details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. Going into this month, this lusty month of May, as I mentioned in the tease, the big question for me and a lot of people covering television was this: are we at an inflection point with this medium? Are we at an inflection point? And now that we've gone through everything from two big announcements over the last 2 weeks, AT&T spinning off Warner Media to Discovery, and just a few days ago, Amazon making a $8.5 billion purchase, if you will, for Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, MGM, a week of digital content new fronts, 3 days last week of upfronts, an unusual Byron Allen production to try to encourage more advertisers to spend on African-American media, and all sorts of announcements under the radar screen, including the possibility of Netflix getting into video games, and Roku hiring a home automation executive following their decision at the start of the month to introduce their viewers to Food Network Kitchen, their first interactive service. When you put that all together, the answer to my question is yes. We are at an inflection point. And I might add an inflection point of no return. And the inflection point is this. The centerpiece of television is no longer broadcast networks. It's no longer cable networks. They are now afterthoughts, second-class citizens in this universe. Why? Because the centerpiece is now the smart television set, the smart TV device, and the programming services that are running on those products. And who do we thank for that? You. You out there. The you among the 80% of U.S. households who are now using these products. The 80% of U.S. households that together are watching tens of billions of hours of content and applications a month through these products. The tens of millions of you that embraced Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Crackle, CBS All Access, the first generation of big content services. You who embraced a wide variety of unique services, many of which are from independent players, many of which are from people or organizations of color that are getting their shot at national distribution through smart TV sets and devices, many of whom have been on this program for the last year and a half. And you, who have embraced the second generation, if you will, of mega content services, starting a year and a half ago with Disney Plus and Apple TV Plus, and then a year ago with Peacock and HBO Max, and earlier this year, the launch of Paramount Plus and Discovery Plus, and Prended TV from Univision. You out there have caused this inflection point. And your viewing of all these services has convinced the advertising industry that, boy, we got to catch up. And we got to start spending billions of dollars into what those folks are watching. And the most unique thing about reaching this inflection point is how it came about. I think when people have the opportunity to take a breath and write this phenomenon out, they're going to realize that this was a phenomenon that pretty much was word of mouth. This was not a phenomenon that was supported, promoted, marketed by TV advertising, by coverage among the technology press, showcasing at consumer electronics conferences like CES International or CE Week, presented on business news channels from CNBC to Fox Business Network to Bloomberg, or for that matter, on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, the nightly newscasts, and other services. This was as grassroots a phenomenon as it can get. And it, compared to other phenomenon in TV and other industries, it came about pretty quick, within a decade. And it's not going to end there. Because something else, I think, is popping. And that is, I think the American public is making newer forms of television mainstream. Interactive television, the success of Food Network Kitchen, the early reaction to projects like Seize the Show and Rival Peak, and Netflix projects like the Bandersnatch episode of Black Mirror and last spring's Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt comedy series special. And there's a lot of interest now with interactive ads, pause ads, binge ads, ads where you, while you're watching, you call up more information about the product or service you want to get to know more about, and the ability to order products or services if you want, on the spot, with your remote controller, with your voice. And let's not forget, with Food Network Kitchen, you can call up recipes on the spot in a TV set. You can participate in interactive cooking classes. You can order food, ingredients, kitchen utensils on the spot, get them delivered through Amazon next day or two. Again, this is a phenomenon that wasn't publicized in the normal fashion. This is a word-of-mouth usage phenomenon. And apparently, you liked what you saw, because more people than ever are seeing this phenomenon develop with you. And what's very, very clear to me is that we're about to hit the next round of inflection. Interactive advertising and ultimately interactive programming becoming a mainstream phenomenon. The use of artificial intelligence, voice, and maybe video. The creation of virtual worlds. The use of augmented reality. More programming services through smart TV sets and devices. More creative risk-taking. More programming made by people of color. And goodness knows, somewhere, somebody has got to be looking at maybe the next level of television that's definitely under radar screens, and maybe not for long. It is an incredibly exciting time. And I have no doubt that you out there are ready for it, because you're edging it on. And I also think that you are sending a message to the broadcast networks and the cable networks. And it's this. We're past the point of no return when it comes to commercial watching. If we're going to watch ads, we're going to watch fewer of them, and we're going to watch ads that matter. And ads are creative, and ads where we can respond to them on the spot. And I really hope that this inflection point leads to the folks behind the broadcast and cable networks realizing that if things stand the way they're going, they are not going to be part of the scene, because the American public very clearly is tired of watching hours of television where more than a quarter of the hour or a third of the hour are commercial and promotional breaks. Too many commercial breaks and too many ads in the commercials, in the breaks. The time to cut it out is now. And that's why when HBO Max, for example, puts on its ad-free or ad-supported version with probably 4 or 5 minutes an hour, and other people do their thing, I think they'll hold the feet to the fire. And they will take advertising that is creative, and again, you can respond to. And I think it will also lead to the breakthroughs mainstream for interactive television. No question about it. So let's congratulate ourselves for this inflection point. You out there, we salute you. And you're making better television happen. Because we truly are in a new golden age of television. We are in a plentiful age of television. We are in a diverse age of TV. We're in a smart age of TV. And we will be in an interactive age of TV. And we will be the beneficiaries of it. And I promise you that for the rest of this year, you're going to see a volcanic explosion of TV production. You're going to see an volcanic explosion of new talent getting into the industry. You're going to see a volcanic explosion of series creators and movie creators for television that will be coming from communities of color and from all sorts of sources. So all I got to say is thank you, thank you, thank you, the viewers of America. You're pushing us past this inflection point pretty fast. Strap yourselves in. More great things ahead. And now it's time for our regular feature, A Show to Know, where we highlight a program that we definitely think is worth watching. And you might not know about it because it's not well marketed, promoted, or publicized, or falls under the radar screen of TV critics and journalists. 30 years ago, one of the great milestones in animated television happened on Nickelodeon with the introduction of not one, not two, but the first three Nicktoons. Each of these unique, wonderfully created animated series that featured their creators taking charge of their product. No cookie-cutter animation, no animation that was done from overseas that was like every other program. These were individually designed shows and featured some sensational talent. There was Doug by Jim Jenkins. There was the Ren and Stimpy show by John Kricfalusi, which we understand, by the way, Comedy Central is still trying to bring back with new episodes. And then there was Rugrats. The series about Small Fry from the viewpoint of Small Fry. Rugrats was a very special television program. It was special in every way, from the brilliant animation designs by Peter Chung to the creation and the writing supervised by its executive producers, Arlene Claspy and Gab Marsupo, a fantastic voice cast, wonderfully done animation backgrounds and layouts, and a tremendous musical score by Devo's Mark Mothersbaugh. Rugrats was an instant hit with Nickelodeon's audience and with adults that were watching with them. In its first year, Rugrats became the first cable television series of any kind to win a daytime or primetime Emmy Award as a series. It would be the first of a number that they would win. Rugrats ran for more than a decade in its original format. In fact, it was even brought back after it was canceled by Nickelodeon. And it also came forward with a trio of movies, all of which were hits, as well as a spinoff show. Or two. If you haven't heard, Rugrats is back in a brand new version that premiered yesterday on Paramount Plus. The original was done in regular cell animation. This one is done with computer animation. And yeah, I think that when you hear, oh, it's in computer animation, there's got to be something lost. The style, the charm of Rugrats may be lost. Guess what? It's not. In fact, I think it's enhanced. By the way, the original voice cast, for the most part, comes back. And so is the wonderful writing. And most importantly, the attitude and charm is back, and I think it's enhanced by the computer animation. And for those of you that love the classic opening sequence with the Peter Chung design, that's back too, and beautifully rendered in computer animation. Rugrats, I think, is on its way to having another great long run with its new computer-generated episodes. And you can see Rugrats on Paramount Plus. And Paramount Plus is available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And for more details about the promo online, go to www.paramountplus, and that's spelled out, by the way, not the plus sign. It's plus.com. www.paramountplus.com. Rugrats, whether you were a big fan of the original or you heard about it from somebody who did see it, I think you're going to find it really well done, and it'll make you feel like a kid again. And I think of all the three shows that Nickelodeon premiered as Nicktoons 30 years ago, this was, I think, the one that really spearheaded the drive toward more Nicktoons. It was the most successful of the initial bunch. And, of course, Nicktoons has gone on to have many, many more great series, and they're still cranking out very well, both for Nickelodeon and for Paramount+. Now, is there a TV show that you like that deserves more attention, like a Rugrats? Well, we want to hear about it, and we want to feature on this program. But we have to hear from you. So let me know. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook and LinkedIn. Follow me on Twitter. If we use your suggestion on the air, you get the credit. So make it happen. Again, simonapple04@yahoo.com. If we use your show note suggestion on the air in a future episode, you get the credit. And we like that. So email me or find me on social media. Give me the details. And let's make something happen, okay? Okay. Well, we got some wonderful episodes already set to come your way next month. In fact, the day after Memorial Day weekend ends, that's Tuesday, June 1st, we've got a very interesting guest for you. His name is Paul Suchik, and he is the President and Chief Executive Officer of a new smart TV distributed network called Wondrum. It's a mix of instructional, enlightening, engaging programming in the unscripted documentary arena. And then, next Friday on Smart Be Televised, among our guests, we'll have the creator executive producer of the new CW series, The Republic of Sarah. It may be the most unique series the CW has premiered since Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. The plot is very interesting. What if you were part of a city in a small town or a small town in an interesting state that decided to break away and form your own nation? And who would you get to run it? That's what The Republic of Sarah is all about. And Jeffrey Cabal King will talk about that a week from next Friday. And then the following Monday, we'll talk to a person who's going to be doing not one but two series on ABC this summer, the third season of Holy Moly, that unbelievable golf tournament, and the new version, Celebrity Style, of the dating game featuring Zooey Deschanel and Michael Bolton. Executive producer Charles Wachter will be with us. That's all coming up in the next few weeks right here, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you came in late on today's program or want to catch up on episodes you missed, here's the way to do it. Go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And that website, homepage, we open all Memorial Day weekend, so you can check out all of our episodes this month. this lusty month of May, as well as throughout 2021 so far. And don't forget, our podcast will also be available to you on Memorial Day weekend and beyond. That's everything from iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker's Podcast, TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio.com, Verbal, and Amazon Music's Podcast Network. All right? All right. And remember, anytime, holidays included, we'd love to hear from you. What do you think about the world of television? What do you think about our guests we have on the program? Any suggestions for future episodes? Love to hear them. Email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Remember to include your name and where you're from, and we always appreciate what you have to say, and we do respond within 24 hours. You'll also find me on Facebook and LinkedIn and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. However you communicate with us, please do so, because we communicate back. It's very simple. What you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate at BTR is Mandolin. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Steinberg, head of content. The co-founders of this enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two and a one-month trial, it's audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Everyone here at Blog Talk Radio, Freaker and Tuna Radio, wish the best Memorial Day weekend for you, either lately or ever. And remember, please take time this Memorial Day weekend to take more than a moment and honor the people who gave the biggest sacrifice of their lives, their life itself, so that we could have the nation and the world we want. And also take some time, more than a moment, to honor the people who are getting us through this pandemic. And because of them and you, we are licking this pandemic and saying to keep them come. I'm talking about everybody from first responders to emergency medical personnel, doctors, nurses, scientists, vaccine specialists, and yes, the rest of the American public too. Thank you for who you are and who you're being. Thank you and your families for the courage you have to get us through this pandemic. And we will. We are licking this pandemic to kingdom come. And it's all thanks to you. And on this Memorial Day weekend, we honor you. We'll be back on Tuesday, not Monday, Tuesday, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to between now and then, please make it safe, make it great, get to where you're going, have the best time of your life with you and the people you love in this world. And again, we're licking this pandemic now more than ever. We're at that inflection point too, and we're passing it this weekend. Count on it. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.